Well, good morning again, Shelter Rock. Again, my name is Andrew, and right now in the season of planting a church called Home Church out in Mastic Beach. I didn't do this before, and I apologize. I really wanted to recognize this church and Pastor Steve especially. The way we got connected was through the summer when we were in our, what you call a pre-launch phase, and we were, you know, really gearing up for going every week. I was meeting with a lot of different pastors, and Pastor Steve immediately just sensed there was something different. When you send an email out or a phone call, sometimes be surprised, you don't always have the best response if you're planting a church, especially close by. But Pastor Steve, there was just an excitement even in his email response, and he's such a kingdom-minded man. And so I am really grateful for the leadership here, for Pastor Steve, for getting behind me and the church, because ultimately without that, you wouldn't be able to do it. So you guys are really blessed to have a tremendous leader here who's very kingdom-minded. And I count it a great privilege that he would allow me to come here today and just share for a few moments with you the Word of God. As I shared briefly in our interview, and I'll just touch on a little bit more, this was the last thing that I thought I'd ever be doing. And I say that just to encourage someone here today that God is greater than whatever you're going through. His ways are greater than our ways. And really, it's such a simple thing, really what we're talking about today, but it's so life-changing that it just simply trust our lives to him. If you'd ask me, Andrew, what changed? Because I went from someone who was so angry, so depressed, and wanted to cause pain to others, and that's just the way I lived for 7 years. And yes, what changed? It's simply, I mean, the grace of God coming to me first, but then me saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to trust my life. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding anymore. As I said, I grew up in the area that we're planting, and as I said, I never had a thought of ever being in ministry at all. Now in hindsight, I could see how the Lord, for me personally, was tugging at my heart and calling me, but I was running really hard from that and just kept going and going, and I went and got into sports and it was doing well in school. I went to a school in the Maryland area called Johns Hopkins, and I was playing lacrosse, and everything just seemed to be going so well there. And then I went into work in the city afterwards, and I was like, man, I'm doing everything I want, except for the fact that on the inside I was dying, and no one really knew about that. And what happened was, just towards the end of high school and then going to college, the kid who said he wouldn't drink, right, I was the straight-edge guy, I started to drink, and so on and so forth, and before I knew it, my life had just completely went out of control. As I shared earlier this morning, I've seen, unfortunately, too many people lose their lives, close friends in this. If I shared some of the stories of two accounts of which myself waking up in the back of an ambulance and grace of God to keep me alive from overdosing, and family holidays were just a mess. If anyone's been around someone who's been in addiction, you know what that's like. It usually ends in some fist fighting on the front lawn. I was a different man. I was literally like a walking animal, and Jesus came to me at my worst and poured out his love and his grace in my life and so radically changed me. And so while I was working in the city, not happy, literally living a double life, I met who is now my wife. She didn't really know everything that was going on, but eventually it came out, and I needed help. It was just everything was falling apart, stealing money and whatnot. So God directed me to that program, Brooklyn Teen Challenge, which is a year-long faith-based program for people coming out of addiction. So I entered in. We were just freshly married. We just had our first son. So many concerns, so many worries, wondering how is God going to provide? How is this all going to work out? Pretty sure my wife will probably just forget about me and leave me. But everything, quite the opposite happened. God just so changed my life, changed our marriage, changed everything, restored us, and just began to call me into the ministry and said, I'm going to raise you up to speak to other people who have lost hope. And so my heart now is I just want to serve people and do whatever God wants me to do. As we were getting towards the end of Teen Challenge, we just knew that we were called to ministry. Our leaders said the same. We served there. I served there over the men's home. My wife came and lived with me. She was overseeing the women's home. And then just last year, we felt the call to be released and to go to Mastic Beach. And if any of you are familiar with that area, you know it's, and I'm from there, so I can share about this, that it's a very oppressed, very broken area, often an area that's just looked down upon. And we just believe that it's so prime for God to move because of these things, that when we see God do the miraculous, everyone will know it's by his hand alone. So I ask if you just keep us in prayer as we're on this journey. We're talking about trusting in the Lord today. Let me tell you, as a church planner, there's a lot of trust. Often find myself in situations saying, God, how is this going to provide? How are you going to do this? How is there going to be food on the table? And so on and so forth. But God, I could just share the testimonies from the littlest of things to the biggest of things. God has been so faithful when we trust in him. So we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Let me just pray as we do that. Lord, I thank you for your word, God, and I thank you that it brings life. And God, I'm praying today that you would anoint me to speak your word, and that you would bring life into your people, God. All those that maybe feel trapped and bound by anxiety and stress, God, may we just follow your simple truths, to trust in you, to not lean on our own understanding, to submit everything to you, God, and we have the great hope and assurance that you will make our path straight. God, I pray that you would just breathe on this service right now, breathe on this word, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll bring it up on the screen. What I want to talk to you about today is the reward of trust. The reward of trust. So let me just read these two verses real quick. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. So Proverbs is found in one of the wisdom books, right? Well, chapter 3 specifically is talking about the blessings that flow from wisdom, the rewards of wisdom. There is a fruit that comes when we actually apply these things into our life. And what we're talking about today, and that's why I want to start with this, and then we'll look at three ways the scripture says we trust in God, is that we as Christians have the blessed assurance and confidence that when we simply trust God with our lives, he makes our paths straight. It's a beautiful thing when you actually think about it. It's so simple, it almost becomes offensive in some ways. It's got to be more than this. What else do I need to do? And the starting point is simply trusting our lives to God and resting in him. It says, and he will make our paths straight. That's the reward for trusting our lives to him. So what does that mean? God is, we have the hope and the confidence that God is guiding us, that he's protecting us, that he's preserving us, that when we begin to drift and maybe veer off and go into a place where we could waste our life, God brings us back in and keeps us. He's strengthening us. We have all these things. He's making our path straight. Even when we can't see it, even when we don't understand what's going on, he's leading us and guiding us. This scripture tells us that trust isn't wasted. Sometimes we can do things and follow the Lord and it doesn't make sense. Say, is this worth it, God? Is this really worth it? Because this makes a lot more sense. But this scripture tells us that trust is never wasted. It's always producing something in our life when we're following God and not leaning on our own understanding. And I don't know about you, but for me, anxiety in my life typically comes when I'm trying to control my situations. I want to know how it's all going to work out. I want to put myself in a place where I feel very comfortable, wherever that is financially. But God's call is always going to take us beyond what we can handle because that's the only way that he gets glory. So understand if you're following the Lord, you're going to find yourself in situations where it says, this is taking me way beyond what I can do in my own resources. And that's where the level of trust must come in. The interesting thing is that, to be honest, we never have really control over our lives. But as Christians, God says, you don't need to try to hold your life together. That's not our job. And, you know, in this life, I don't know about you, but there's so many responsibilities, being a father and husband. And for me, this is my story, church planning and trying to balance all these things, my personal walk. And I know it's the same for you. And it just feels like you got to hold these things together and make sure it all works out. And God says, no. We have a great hope. We have work to do. But our first step is trusting in God and he makes our path straight. Now, understand this. Him making our path straight does not mean it's the easiest path. Does not mean it's the fastest path. I found in my life often that when I'm trusting in the Lord, it's usually taking me down a road I had never thought I'd be going down. But even though it's not the fastest and even though it's not always the easiest, it's always the right way. It's always the right way. God's path, because he's concerned with perfecting our faith, he's concerned with our character. These are things that God builds when he takes us on what we would think detours. Sometimes we feel like we're in setbacks and saying, God, I don't understand. I trusted you with this, and I feel like I'm going backwards. And God says, just trust me. I'm doing something, even though you can't see it. So I want to share this story with you that maybe can resonate a little bit. I'm sure you're familiar with Moses and his leadership to take the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. And so as God calls Moses and leads them on this journey out of Egypt, very quickly and very soon into their journey, they meet a serious problem. They come up to the Red Sea. And as they come up to the Red Sea, there's nowhere for them to go. Now that would be bad enough, except for the other thing is Pharaoh and his army is now coming after them. And now God has led them here. So they're really in a place where they appear in every way to be trapped and saying, well, God, what are you doing? And in fact, that's what the people really begin to cry out against Moses. He said, you've led us here. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die here. What is going to happen? And so funny how we want God to deliver us right away, but he's building trust in us. And so they're not the Red Sea doesn't part right away. God allows the Egyptians to get closer and closer. It says so close that the Israelites could actually see the Egyptians coming. I mean, you can kind of imagine this feeling that in our own life, if you've been in those situations where it's like, man, it just feels like everything's starting to implode on us. And then Moses, in talking with the Lord, begins to lead them and say, look, we don't need to be fearful. The Lord is fighting for us. We just need to be still and trust in him. And the Egyptians we see today will see no more. And we know the story. Moses takes the staff and puts it over the Red Sea and the waters part. And the Israelites are led through. And as the Egyptians follow, they get swallowed up. But here in the Psalm, I want to share something that summarizes this that's so important for us to hear. Psalm 77:19 says this. Your road led by a pathway through the sea, a pathway no one knew was there. And I thought about my life and how many times I have followed the Lord and been led and found myself in a place which I feel like I'm in a dead end. I feel like, whatever it's financially, relationally, at work, it just seems like I'm trapped in this place and I don't know how I'm going to get out. And I'm often just ridden with anxiety and worry because I'm a worrier. Some of us, that can define our life. We're often just worrying and how's this all going to work out? And we find ourselves in situations like the Israelites. God, what are you doing here? I mean, on one side I'm trapped. I have an enemy coming down here. But God says that even when you are in those places, when you trust in him, our natural eyes can't even see the path. But God says, I have a path that no one even knew was there. God has a path for each and every one of us that when we trust in him and we're in the midst of some hard, difficult seasons, we look around and say, I don't see a way out. God says, I have a way that you cannot even see if you simply trust in me. Look to me. Give me your life. My natural instinct in moments like this with the Israelites is it's fight or flight, right? That's what we typically do. We try to claw and scrap and find another way out. Doesn't really change anything. Just in the process, we get really worn down and burdened. Or we just pretend like it's not going on. We flight, we run. Maybe not physically, but we run and just say, I'm not going to deal with this. Truth is that anxiety and worry of how this is going to play out is still there. But as a Christian, we have another option. It's not fight, it's not flight, it's trust. As a Christian, we have been given access to the God of eternity and the God of the heavens and earth that we can trust in him. And so the reward of trust is that he makes our path straight. And here's three things I want to share with you from this scripture to encourage you on how we do this. The first comes from verse 5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So number one is to trust is to place your confidence in God alone. We are placing our lives, our trust, our confidence, our security, our safety in the hands of God. Many things in life will come to compete for our trust, but only God is worthy of this. As I was preparing this week and I thought about this, often that's been more of a burden for me that I've got to trust God. Why can't I just do it myself? But begin to kind of think about this a different way. Because if I had access to any world leader or president in this country, I'd feel pretty confident that at any time I could give them a phone call and that they were on my side and that I'd have access to their resources and whatever I needed, they were there with me. And I started thinking about that and I said, you know what, and these are people that sit in an office for what, 4 to 8 years at most? But we have access to the one who sits in the highest office and sits in that office for eternity. He's seated, which means it's his and he reigns forevermore. And he says, you have access. As a Christian, we have the privilege to be able to trust in him. And I think as we begin to think about it, I say, man, why am I worrying? Why am I stressing? God is in control of my life. It says this in verse 5, trust in the Lord. And I want to point this out, that it's all capitals, Lord. See, the other way it could have been written is trust in the Lord with just a capital L, all lowercase after. That would refer to Adonai, which would be God's position or title, like a president is a title. But when it's all capitals, that's referring to God himself, his name, Yahweh, which refers to I am, the one who has existed forever. The reason that's important is because from the perspective of the Israelites, to be asked to trust in Yahweh means something. There would have immediately been this recollection of all of God's past faithfulness, such as when he led them through the Red Sea. This was not just some foreign God or some distant God. This was a very personal God to them. So when they were asked, trust in Yahweh, they would have recognized this is the one who has been with us since the beginning. He's the one who was actually there, who formed us as a nation. Why is that important? Because one of the ways that we can cultivate the discipline of trust is by cultivating a habit of remembering God's past faithfulness. Oftentimes, God does so many things in our lives, and we remember for a day, a week, and then we move on. We find ourselves in another situation where we feel surrounded, and we say, well, how's this going to work out, God? This can't happen. But God says, if we take the time to reflect on all of God's past faithfulness, it builds a confidence for the current trials we're facing. How many remember the story of David and Goliath, right? David was a mere shepherd boy. His brothers were out fighting the battle, and they were on the front lines. And David's father said, I want you to go bring some food to your brother, so he does that. When he gets to the battle, he sees what's taking place. There is a standoff between the Israelites and the Philistines. And there's a giant named Goliath who is barking insults at the army of God. And so David is stirred by this and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the army of the living God? So he goes to King Saul, the king of the Israelites, and he says, I want to fight this man, right? I'm just paraphrasing. He says, I want to fight this man. And King Saul kind of mocks him. He says, this man's been fighting longer than you've been alive. But David's response is this: when I was a shepherd, I saw God deliver me from the hand of the lion and the bear. If he's done it then, he will do it again. The way David had firm trust and confidence in God in this future, in this current battle, is he took time to purposefully and intentionally reflect on God's past faithfulness and his past victories. And as he did that, it stirred up a confidence. If God's done it then, he will do it now. So this could be really practical in our lives. It could literally be just journaling, writing things down. That's something me and my wife have started doing, where every time there's a testimony of God working in our life, we write it down. Why? So that when there's no money coming in and we don't know where the people are and we say, God, I thought you called us, we look back to all those times God has been faithful to us. And we say, no, he's done it then. He delivered us then. He will surely be with us now. The other thing is when it says trust in the Lord, again, Yahweh is someone, it's a personal relationship with him. Yahweh is the one who brought in the covenant relationship with Israel. Again, this isn't a far-off God. This is someone who's very personal to the Israelites. It's their God. And I begin to think about this, and if someone were to come to me and ask me to trust in them, their authority may warrant some trust, but truth is, I wouldn't be able to trust them all the way until I know them, until I have a relationship with them. And one of the other ways that we cultivate a discipline of trusting in the Lord is growing in intimacy with him. It's spending time with him. It's, as Paul said, beholding the face of Jesus. So that's our ministry. As Christians, that's our first ministry, is spending time with him, being in his presence, and learning who he is and understanding that his character and his nature is good. Psalm 34:8 says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I love that scripture because you don't have to follow my path, which is taste and see that the world is not all it's cut out to be, and then you'll go to the Lord and say, wow, this was much better. The Lord is so good that when you taste and see of him, you'll never want to go after what the world has to offer. When you taste and see of Jesus, he's so good that it will lead you to trust in him. And how do we do that? We behold him. We spend time with him. We grow in intimacy with him. We understand his character, that he's good. Jesus is referred to as what? The Good Shepherd. And I know I was on your website this week looking at some things. I saw you guys just got done talking with this. And I was thinking about this. I used to wrestle with this because I said, why isn't Jesus the Great Shepherd? Why isn't he the Great Shepherd? Because greatness refers to ability. Now, Jesus is great in every way, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to him shepherding our lives and leading us and guiding us, what he wants to emphasize is not his ability. Goodness refers to morality. What Jesus wants to know when it's leading our life is that he is a good shepherd. He has good intentions. He has good plans for us. He has good thoughts for us. He loves us. He's a good God. And therefore, we can trust our lives with him, knowing that he has good plans and intentions for our future. So as we cultivate this intimacy with God, we'll learn his character. We see he's a provider. He's faithful. We see the love that he has for us. And as a result, we'll be able to take heed to words like Matthew 6, right? Where Jesus talks to his followers and says, don't be like unbelievers who worry about what they're going to eat and drink and wear, right? He goes on all these things. He said, you have a good father who knows your needs. He said, look at the birds of the sky. Do they not have food? Look at the lilies of the field. Are they not clothed in majesty? He said, are you not more valuable than these things? So therefore, put God first and all these things will be provided for you. And I really believe in my life, I speak for myself, maybe you feel differently, that for me, when I find myself in seasons of deep anxiety and worry, it all comes down to a lack of trust in God's promises for my life. It's as simple as that. I'm not believing that God says, that what God says is true, who he says he is and what he says in my life. And as a result, I begin to panic. But there's got to come back to that place of intimacy where I remind myself, no, he's a good father. He's a good shepherd. He has good intentions for me. He's going to see me out of this crisis that I'm in my life right now. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says this, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." What a beautiful promise that when we trust in the Lord and put our confidence in him, when we walk through seasons of drought, when we walk through those really hard seasons, I'm not just saying that to connect. So, I mean, we walk through things that it's hard. We're not exempt from that as followers of Jesus. Sometimes it's even intensified. That this gives us the beautiful promise that we will be a prosperous people through the hardest of seasons. We will bear fruit through the hardest of seasons when we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. So number one is to trust is to place your confidence in God alone. Number two is to trust is to renounce self-reliance. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? And lean not on your own understanding. To lean on something is to place your confidence or trust. Like I trust it's going to support me, right? Now, what exactly does that mean? It does not mean that we're not called to use our minds, right? God has given us brains to think, and understanding is not a bad thing. It's what it's really saying is that we are not called to be the ones who judge what is right and wrong. That needs to be suspended and released and given to God. It's no longer I do not choose what's right and wrong in my life. And to be honest, this is the battle that's waged since the beginning. It's the same thing that happened with Adam and Eve, that when they were told, you can eat of this tree, but not of this tree, and they said, no, you will not tell me what I can and cannot do. I will be the determiner of what's right and wrong in my life. And I know for me, that's the battle that still wages in my heart. That's the thing that still wants to creep out and say, no, God, I know, I actually know what's better. I don't need to listen to you. This is the choice, I believe, that's put before us. Simple. Trust in God or trust in self. And I just want to make us aware that that fallen nature resides there. Even though we've been born again of the Spirit, that thing's still nagging there, whispering, saying, no, you know best. Follow your own ways. And I think about all of creation. Think about man and sometimes our rebellion in this. When God creates the heavens and the earth, and he puts the stars in the sky, right? And he puts the waters and the depths of the sea. And there's so many scriptures that talk about how he places boundaries on these things. In so many ways, it talks about how all of creation submits and bows down to his authority. They all listen to his commands. The waters, the mountains, all of creation, except one part. There is man. And then when God speaks into man's life, somehow we have the audacity, I have the audacity to say at times to God, no, 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 I will not do that. And that thing has to be put to death. If we are going to trust in God, we must first or also renounce self-reliance. It's such a huge part of what we need to do. And as our culture, this is really important because our culture says that maturity is marked by independence. So in our culture, as you're becoming more and more mature, you're becoming more and more independent, right? I move out of my father's household, I get my own job, I start making my own money, I pay my own bills, I start my own family. These are good things. I'm becoming more and more independent. The only problem is the kingdom of God stands in stark contrast to that. It actually says the mark of maturity when you're following Jesus is you're becoming more and more and more dependent. The man or woman that God can use is the one that renounces self-reliance, that recognizes, God, my best efforts and my will can get me so far, but when I place my life in your hands, God can do the most miraculous and beautiful things. He can transform our situations when we trust in him. And there are times when we will have to trust and it will make no sense. I shared this before. When I was going into the program, a teen challenge, my wife and I just renewed our lease on our apartment in Brooklyn. So, I mean, literally just renewed it, maybe a few days before everything just fell open and we just knew, okay, I've got to go away. And now I'm thinking, how is this going to work out? Because I'm the one who's bringing in money and I'm not going to be working. This doesn't seem to make any sense. And I knew God was saying you need to go away. And then I felt like he was saying that my wife needs to go back home for that year to her parents. But I'm saying, well, who's going to pay for this apartment? So I'm stressed out, but the Lord says, the first thing you need to do is go to your employer and tell them that you're going to be going away. And I'm like, wait a minute, that makes no sense. Now I'm really stuck in a jam if things don't pan out. But I couldn't shake it. I just knew it was him saying that, so I said, all right. So on a Friday, I go to my boss, and I tell him what's going on, and very supportive, and says, why don't you finish out next week, and that'll be it. And I said, okay. I go home that week, and I'm thinking, we're in a tough spot now. How is this going to play out? And I go to work on Monday, and just so stressed out, so much anxiety. And my wife calls me and says, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? She said, well, I was walking around in our apartment complex through our hallways, and just happened to stumble upon three friends. We struck up small talk, didn't really think much of it, but for whatever reason, I asked, what are you guys doing around here? And they had said, well, kind of laughed. They said, you know, we've been bouncing around in some of the different apartments over here, but we're just walking through wondering if anyone might be subletting their apartment for the next year. My wife grabbed them, brought them into the apartment, made up a contract, signed it, and we were out that week. God made a path when I couldn't see one. If I would have tried to trust my own understanding and say, wait a minute, the right thing is I got to put everything in order first, I would have missed that. I would have missed that. It's so simple. Practicing is very hard. Don't get me wrong. It's very hard. I struggle with this. But it's very simple. Is when God speaks, we simply listen. And he knows better than we do. And that's where we have the assurance to say, God is working these things out. And I don't need to try to hold my life together. And finally, the third and final point that I want to share with you is to trust is to submit everything to God. So number one was to trust is to place your confidence in God alone. Number two, to trust is to renounce self-reliance. And number three, to trust is to submit everything to God. That's what it says here in the beginning of verse 6. In all your ways, submit to him or acknowledge him. In very simple terms, it's basically saying bring God into every situation. Yes, he's always around, acknowledge him, but it's bringing him in and saying, God, I want your will. I want your mind. I want based on your character, what should I do here? The example I would use is when you have a proposal and you submit it for review. Based on the review, whatever you get back, you respond accordingly. So too, God says, submit our lives to him. Every aspect of our lives, submit it to him. And God's review, what he says, do this, do that, even when it doesn't make sense, we follow it. There's not one part that we hold back from God. It says in all of our ways, submit. All of our ways, acknowledge. And I shared this. For me, as a young Christian, when people would ask, how are you doing? My response was typically, if I was doing my devotions and if I was attending church, I'd say, I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty well here. But what I've realized as mature is that the kingdom of God is much more concerned with those things than just spiritual things. Yes, that's a big aspect, but when God says to submit every part of our life, I've realized he wants to know how we're treating our spouse. He wants to know how we shepherding our kids. He wants to know how do we treat those that are in authority of us. How do we treat those that are under us in authority? What's our work ethic like? What's our free time look like? What's our stewardship look like for the things God has blessed us with? So on and so forth. When it says submit all of our ways, it's not just church things or one day of a week. God wants every aspect of our life to be submitted. And I close with this. Why should we do that? Because Jesus is worthy of it all. It's as simple as that. He's worthy of it all. The one who gave up everything is worthy for us to give our entire life. The scripture said that we were dead in our sins. Think about that. What's that imagery? We weren't half dead, quarter dead, maybe dead. We were completely dead in our sins, which means if I'm dead, can I resuscitate myself? Of course not. I would need someone from the outside to do that. That's what the grace of God has done. He came and resuscitated us and gave us a new life and a new heart. It's only through Jesus we can actually have a heart to trust in him fully and lean on him. And so my heart is, God, as you've given me new life and a new heart, how could I not withhold that from you? How could I not give you everything? Amen. Let me close in prayer with you guys as the worship team comes back up. Three principles. To trust is to place your confidence in God alone. Renounce self-reliance and to submit everything to God. Father, I pray for your people here. I pray for Shelter Rock, God. And I just thank you for this opportunity that we've had together. And God, I pray that this wouldn't just be a message that's heard and go on to living life. But I pray for the real struggles in here, God. We don't want to simply do church. I pray for everyone that feels overwhelmed and burdened by life right now, stressed out and anxious of wondering, how is this going to work out? God, that person that you see right now in this room, Father, I pray by your Spirit, you just begin to minister to them, Lord. I pray that you would give them that peace that surpasses understanding, that joy that transcends our circumstances. God, that faith that says, I know it doesn't look good, but my God is good. and he's been there for me in the past, he'll be there for me now. God, I ask that this would just be released in this room, Lord, that we would praise you today, God, and realize we are in good hands. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.